that we reach like the ceiling and we can't seem to go any higher. Like there is something standing in the way. And I want to, with the help of the Lord today, to address what may be standing in the way. To present to you an approach to God that may to be the key to open up the next place and the next event in God's work in our lives in this church. The book of Daniel, chapter number 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood. Now let me tell you something today, folks. It doesn't matter who the king is. It doesn't matter who the nations are in power. God is always ruling and reigning. He sets up kings and he sweeps kingdoms away with his word, with his breath. And Daniel realized this is just a point of reference for us. But he realizes something is about to happen. There's transitions taking place. Can anybody disagree with me today to say that the condition of our country right now and this political climate, this election year, and things that are happening overseas in Europe with the European Union, that there is shifting and there is transitions taking place, and there are spiritual battles that are going on in the political sphere for the power of the nations, and the power of America is being shaken right now. And it would be time and high time for the church to awaken and to say to themselves, this may be a transitional moment in the plan of God. This may be a transitional moment in God's plan for all humanity. And it may be time for the church to step up to the plate and get tuned in and get connected in and to know what, where, and how that we should handle and deal and live and act in this hour and day and time that we live in. Some 2,000 years after Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, the promises of his return have not yet been fulfilled. But I'm here to tell you that ever since the nation of Israel was formed and ever since they became a power, a world power again, I don't know how a nation of 9 million people can be considered to be a world power, but somehow by the mighty promises that God gave Abraham and to the promises that he has made to his people and the promises and the covenant that he made with himself when he put Abraham to sleep in the book of Genesis, that God has brought the nation of Israel back from non-existence, from the brink of absolute destruction and extinction. And now today the world, it revolves on the hinge of the nation of Israel and what they say and what they do. And I know that it's been some decades now. And I know that it's been some time. And we're wondering, well, when is God going to come back? But I'm here to tell you that when Jesus said, this generation shall not pass until all things that I have prophesied have been fulfilled, there are signs in the nations and in the world that we live in today, that if we cannot be aware and awakened to the signs that we see, we are going to be in a sad situation. There is a change that is coming on the world scene, and there are things that are about to become that the world and the nations of the world are to be shaken, and the church needs to be awake, and the church needs to be aware, and the church needs to be busy about the Father's business and getting deeper and going deeper into prayer and relationship with God, because God is about to shake up the nations of the world and the foundations of the earth and the foundations of our solar system. It's what I read in the Bible. The powers of heaven are going to be shaken up. Oh, church, we need to be on fire. Sister Martha, our coffee needs to be hot and not cold. We need to be ready for whatever is about to happen. Amen. Because the world stage is being set. Daniel said in chapter 9, verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood. My books The number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. And said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants, the prophets, which spake in Thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and are far off, through all the countries whither Thou hast driven them, because their trespass that they have trespassed against Thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of fates, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against Thee. To the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against Him, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in His ways, which He set before us by His servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed Thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey Thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him, and He hath confirmed His words which He spake against us, and against our judges that judge us, by bringing upon us great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done unto Jerusalem. As it is written, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand Thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all His works which He doeth, for we obey not His voice. And now, O Lord our God, Thou hast brought Thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast got Thee renowned as at this day. We have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all Thy righteousness, I beseech Thee, let Thy anger and Thy fury be turned away from Thy city Jerusalem, and that Thy holy mountain, because of for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and Thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of Thy servant and his supplications, and cause Thy face to shine upon Thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline Thine ear and hear. Open Thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by Thy name. For we do not present our supplications before Thee for our righteousness, but for Thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for Thine own sake, O my God. For Thy city and Thy people are called by Thy name. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Isn't it a comfort to know today how much our God loves us? If there's one lie that the devil would tell, if there's one accusation that he could perpetrate into our heart and mind to tell us that we have done something so terrible, so egregious, so disgusting, that our God could not have mercy on us and forgiveness. That is the lie that the devil would tell, that God doesn't love you anymore, and nothing could ever be further from the truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you with an everlasting, in the Old Testament they call it an unfailing love. It never fails, it never wanes, it never waxes, but his love is strong. It is strong, the Bible said in the Song of Songs. It is strong and it is cruel as the grain. Power of many waters cannot quench the love that God has for us. Could not possibly be anyone in this house today if we put every evil thing that we have thought, that we have said, and that we have done, and we put every evil thing that every single person in this building, including myself, has done, and we put it all in, we put it all in the book and all measured it up, it would just be barely a drop in the bucket. It would just count as dust on a scale in comparison to the evil and the wickedness that the nation of Israel has perpetrated against their God and against one another. And here, of all the audacity, of all the precocious things, is a man named Daniel. And he's saying, God, have mercy on us. God, forgive us. Not because of our righteousness, but because of your mercies. I'm here to tell you, somebody, there is hope for you in the kingdom of God. There is hope today for you, because our God is an unfailing, loving God. Hallelujah. You are greatly beloved, Daniel. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. I want to tell you today, if there's anything that we could say, any secret, any advice that we could give, and any key that we could give, it would be this. There is one prayer that has always worked for the man of God. There is always one prayer that has worked for the people of God.
since God has been dealing with mankind, and that is the prayer of repentance. When an individual calls upon God and says, God, I have done wrong, I have done evil, I have been wrong, and I repent before you, the God has never failed to turn his anger away from those people and to allow his mercies to flow once again. Hallelujah. The power of prayer is not in the eloquence of words. The power of prayer is not in the abstinence of asceticism. The power of prayer is not in the fervor of the supplicant, but it is rooted in the focus and the connection to the God that we are praying to. When Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal, the Bible says that they screamed and they hollered and they cut themselves and they prayed all day long. When was the last time you screamed and hollered and cut yourself and prayed all day long? But I'm going to tell you something. God did not hear their prayers because they were praying to a God that had no ears or eyes or any type of sentient existence. But a simple man in a hairy, furry garment with simple faith called upon the one and only true and living God and was able to defy the nation and turn the hearts of the people back to their Creator. Oftentimes we think if we pray harder and we pray longer, then we'll see the results that we're looking for. And we forget the admonition of the prophets to Zerubbabel. It will not be built by the power and the might of mankind, not by might and neither by power, but this tabernacle will be rebuilt by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be praying harder. Don't get me wrong today. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be striving harder. I think we ought to pray harder. I think we ought to pray longer. I think we ought to pray more fervently. I think we ought to pour out our souls before God as we never have before in our lifetime. But sometimes the answer still doesn't come, and praying harder and longer isn't going to change anything, so it seems. And then we come to a realization somewhere that no, it's not how hard, how long, but I need to change the way that I'm praying. I need to adjust my perspective on the world and on God and what He is doing, because this isn't working. Sometimes we need to pray differently. Amen. And in order to pray differently, we need to think differently. And in order to think differently, we need to repent. Because the word repent, if you look it up in Help's Word Studies, it has the connotations of changing the way we think. Repentance isn't just saying sorry. It is a radical transformation of the way I see myself. When I look at myself, I see the ugliness. It was Isaiah in the book, chapter number 6, that he saw a vision of God high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. And the Bible says he fell on his face. He was a preacher. He was a man of God. He was a prophet. He heard from God. He had ecstatic speeches, anointed and inspired by God. But when he got in the presence of the Almighty for the first time, came into the most intimate holy place with God, he fell on his face, on his face on the ground. Then he said, oh, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell midst of an unclean people. If we're going to pray different, we're going to have to think different. And if we're going to think different, we're going to have to change the way that we think about who we are and about who God is.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
He's not holy. He's holier than what we know him to be. And we're not sinful. We're more sinful than what we know ourselves to be. Oh, no flesh will glory in his presence. But even the simplest of prayers from the most unspiritual of people can yield amazing results in grabbing the attention and mercies of God for our lives. When you came to God and you were a sinner and you were full of the wickedness of the world and the carnality of the flesh, God heard your prayer because you had a moment. Something changed inside of you. You felt the love of God for the first time. Your evilness was exposed and tears rolled down your face, and you begin to beg God, you begin to pray to God, oh God, forgive me of my sins. And a radical transformation took place in your life, and you have never been the same since the first time that you repented of your sins. But you're not a sinner anymore. You're a saint. But you're not talking to God for the first time anymore. You've been communicating with him for years and seasons upon seasons of prayer. But yet you're frustrated and you're hitting a brick wall. And I'm telling you, there comes a time when something new has to dawn upon us. Not that it's new to God, but a revelation, an illumination of our hearts and minds. As the angel came and Gabriel talked to Daniel, and he said, I have come to give you skill and understanding. Sometimes the things that we're reaching for, we can't reach because we don't have the tools to get there. Sometimes the things that we want to attain in God, we can't because we don't have the skills that we need. Oh, and so God has to change us. God has to grow us. God has to expand us. In Daniel, the Bible says he went to the Word of God. I think sometimes we need to have seasons of prayer where we're not praying for ourselves, where we're not praying for people, where we're not praying for anything, but that God would give us greater understanding of the Word of God, Brother Philip, so that God can reveal to us the hidden truths that we have been blinded to, so that God can show a view in the blind spot of our faith that is causing us to get into a wreck and causing us to stumble and fall, so that God can enlighten us. Lord, teach us from your word. Show us things that have been hidden. Mysteries of the ages. Oh God, let my mind be changed and the way I think be changed until your word is alive and living inside of me. Until it cuts and divides asunder between the soul, the joints, and the marrow, and the thoughts and the intents of my heart. Until it divides asunder between my soul and my spirit, until I can walk out of a prayer closet and I can tell you that those are the feelings of the flesh and these are the feelings of the spirit, because the Word of God has defined them.
That's right.
With a fine and sharp edge of his powerful truth. And so Daniel said, in this year I begin to study the Word of God. And God began to show me things in the Word. And I read in the prophet Jeremiah that the nation of Israel would be punished for 70 years. And I began to count numbers in my head. And I began to study. And I began to look at the law of Moses and how that Moses said, I'm giving to you today a blessing and a curse. If you obey these commandments, then I will pour out a blessing on you that you cannot contain. But if you disobey these commandments, then I will curse you with a curse. And the things that I thought to do to your adversaries, I will do to you. And Daniel began to read in the law of Moses. But he began to read some other things. He began to read past, as we said earlier about the prayer and the sermon on rejoicing. And he began to read past the blessing. And he began to read past the curses. And he began to read the mercies of God. That if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and if they will repent before before me, and they will seek my face, and they will turn away from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, and then I will forgive sins, and I will heal their land. And Daniel is studying the word. Now that's a powerful prayer closet time when you're fasting and when you're repenting and when your Bible is open before you and you see yourself for how nasty and disgusting you really are. And when Daniel saw himself and he saw his people in the beginning, Daniel is a mighty man of God. He's a man that refuses to eat the king's meat. He's a man that refuses to drink the king's wine. Daniel is the most godly of men that we have seen. The Bible says that the kings testified of him that there was a different spirit, that the spirit of the gods was in him. You hear what I'm saying today? I'm not just talking to first-time sinners. I'm talking to veteran saints of God that have walked in some dark places, and you're frustrated, and you're hitting your head against a brick wall, as it were. How do I break through to the next level? Well, let's see how a mighty man of God who was mighty in dreams and visions and who ruled in the Babylonian Empire with the kings, who ruled in the Medo-Persian Empire with the kings, whose mouths got shut as he was thrown into lion's den, whose adversaries got destroyed powerfully before him. What did he do? He began to read in the Word. We've got to know what the Word of God says.
That's right.
And not just what it says. We've got to have God give us understanding of what it means.
Right. Amen.
To teach us about His character. To understand our position.
Amen.
Paul said, I don't want to fight as one that beats the air. As one that fights uncertainly. I don't want a shadow box with things that I can't get a hold of. And I want to bring my body under subjection.
Amen.
Jesus spoke in John chapter 4 to the woman at the well. He said, woman, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what spirit you're of. You don't understand the truths of the Word of God. If you really understood what the Bible said, if you really understood the prophets as you say you do, you would be asking me for water.
Amen.
And he began to reveal to her powerful truths. God's not interested in you worshiping over here at that mountain. God's not interested in you worshiping over here at that mountain. God could care less about those mountains. What God is looking for is somebody who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the Bible said, Jesus said, the Father is seeking such to worship Him.
Amen.
Jesus said, in one place, the people were debating with him about when I die, who's if two of us have been married to the same woman when we die, whose wife is she going to be? And Jesus said this to them. He said, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. We need to get into the Word of God. We need to dig deeper into the Word of God until it is hidden in our hearts so that we might not sin against Him. But that Word, the Bible says, will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Daniel dug into the Word of God. And he began to see promises. He began to understand things were about to transition. You see, the spiritual condition of the prophets was in a terrible disarray. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, three times God said to Jeremiah the preacher, He said, do not pray for these people. And then a second time He said, do not pray for these people. And a third time God said, do not pray for these Israelites. Because God said, this is why. I will not hear you. That even if Noah and Job and Daniel were in this city, I would not spare it. But they would only save themselves. And so the spiritual atmosphere of the prophets was in disarray, and they'd been carried away captives. They'd seen terrible, horrific crimes of war taking place all around them. Daniel somehow climbs his way out of all of the paganism, out of all the heathenism. Daniel climbs his way out of a life and all of the things that he has seen before. As Paul said, I forget all of the things that are behind. Sometimes we need to forget everything that's behind us, and we need to focus on what's in front of us. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and pressing and not reaching for those things which are before, I am pressing for the prize of the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Something has got to change in me. Something, I've got to have an answer from God. And you dug into the Word and dug into the Word. You prayed and you fasted and you supplicated and petitioned that he repented and he confessed and he repented and he confessed. Because the most profound spiritual shifts always come after a season of repentance. Job, the Bible says, was a righteous man. The Bible says that he was the most righteous man that was in the earth at that time that he lived. Powerful man of God. He was a man of good works. He prayed and supplicated and sacrificed to God almost on a daily basis. He walked in the presence of God, and he was stricken down under satanic spiritual warfare, and he lost everything that he had, and he was in complete and total utter desolation, and he was hitting his head against a brick wall. He was complaining, he was whining, oh, I wish I was never born. He was going through a trial that if any one of us wouldn't be touched by just a hem of the garment of the trial that Job went through, we would go up in a puff of smoke. He was going through some things that no one on the face of the earth had ever been asked to go through for no reason whatsoever. And God allowed Job to suffer just so that he might receive glory. And Job realized he was going through something. And I don't know, sometimes it takes a lot for some people to realize that God's trying to get your attention. Sometimes it takes a lot for some people to realize God's putting you through something because he's taking you somewhere. And so the Bible says he argued with his friends. He complained and he railed at God. He never cursed God. He never said anything foolish, as it were, but he was struggling. He was saying some things. He was down. He was on the ropes. That the Bible says that God showed up. And he said, come on, I'm going to tell you something. I say God loves you. He's not going to ignore what's going on in your prayer closet. He hears your prayers. He sees your brokenness. Hallelujah. But he's waiting for something to change in the way that you think. There's got to be a fresh illumination. There's got to be some skill and understanding departed from the divine God into this fleshly body so that we can move into the next dimension of what God has for us. And I prayed for years and years, God, give me a child. Sounds like the prayers of the church in this hour. God, give us souls, give us souls, give us souls, give us souls. But nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happening. And then one day Hannah said, she changed the way she was thinking about the situation. And she said, God, if you'll give me a son, I will give him right back to you, and he will be yours for his entire life. I don't care if he stays and I never get to live with him. I just want to have a son, and I'll do it for your glory. And right there on that spot, the prophet or the priest came, and he was even a backslid priest. But you can still get a word from God. And he spoke to her, and he said, you will have your prayer granted. And 9 months later, she had a child. Oh, because she changed the way she was thinking about the situation, and it changed the way she prayed about the situation.
Amen.
The Bible says God began to speak to Job.
Where were you? Tell me if you can.
Because even the most righteous man on the earth is nothing in the presence of the Almighty God. We are nothing in Him. We are unprofitable servants before the God that whom we have to do. Oh, and the Bible says, God, give them a little lecture. I'll tell you what some of us need sometimes. We need to get lectured by God a little bit. Hallelujah. We need to hear from the voice of God. Who do you think you are? You are nothing. For me, I could just wipe you out and get a concept and Job's mind begins, his mind began to open up, his spirit began to open up, truth began to flow into him, and when the truth finally hit its mark, tell me what Job did. The Bible says that he fell down and he said, I opened my mouth to speak of things that I did not know. I was a foolish man to question you, Father. And so he said, I repent in sackcloth and dust and ashes. And the Bible says when Job repented, that God turned his captivity. I'm here to tell you something today. There's a place in the kingdom of God that things can change. It's the same place, but it's not the same place. The writer said that we should not be laying again the foundations. Repentance from dead works. We need to stop going to the prayer closet. Oh God, with the carnal sins and the carnal fleshly junk that we're always going to the prayer closet with. We need to get into our holiness, which is nothing more than filthy rags, and get into the prayer closet. Because there is a prayer of repentance that goes beyond sins. There is a prayer of repentance that goes beyond our little mistakes and failures and flaws. There is a prayer of repentance that can take you deeper into the presence of God than you have ever been in your life. Daniel repented in sackcloth and ashes and supplications, and he repented and confessed his sins. He confessed the sins of all the people, and he humbled himself so tremendously before God. Such a great man of God. Such great men of God. And they powerfully experienced a transition in their ministries when they repented of deeper things. Lack of faith. Lack of trust. Lack of trust and lack of faith. What else is there to repent for? Is it worth it? Daniel was praying. Show me, God. Is it time for Israel to be rebuilt? I posted on Facebook this morning. I said, talking about Moses in the burning bush. I said, sometimes God sends something on fire in your life to get your attention. To get you off the carnal path and to get you going back on in the direction of His will for your life. We get so caught up in the mundane day-to-day today, and sometimes we lose our way from the path that God wants to set us on. And so sometimes He sets something on fire in our lives to get our attention. But I'm here to tell you, when God sets something on fire in our lives, when God lets you bump up against the most frustrating thing you've ever been in front of in your life, I'm here to tell you something. The key is repentance. It's time to trust God more. It's time to grow in our faith more. It's time for a change of the way that we think about God ourselves. There is a revelation. There is an illumination of truth that is about to break through in the life and the prayer lives of people in this church today. I believe this in the Word and the Spirit of God. And God was not that interested in telling Daniel, because Jeremiah had already prophesied it would happen. Daniel was wanting to know when the temple would be rebuilt, and God told him this. He not only told him how the temple would be rebuilt, but He told him when the Messiah would come. He said 70 years until now, and it's time to start over. And God says, ouch, Forget about that 70 years. Let me tell you about the next 490 years.
I want to know when we're going to restore our fortunes.
God says, ah, forget about your fortunes. Let me tell you when the Messiah is going to come.
Amen. Glory.
Yeah. I'm here to tell you, your frustration is a doorway, it's an entryway to revelations of things that you cannot imagine. The Bible said, I have not seen, and neither hath the ear heard, the things that God hath prepared for those that love Him. Oh, what was his sister Ashley said? Oh, live God! So stand together today. Chances are God is challenging our faith with some little struggle or irritation to create an entry point into a wide spiritual realm. Paul said, there is a great and effectual door open unto me, and there are many adversaries. There are demons and spiritual powers and darkness. There is the culture that we live in. There are people. I'm here to tell you, people can do more damage to the kingdom of God in just a few moments of time than a full-on assault from the devil. I'll tell you what, some of the most difficult spirits to deal with is the spirits that we look at in the mirror and when we get up in the morning to brush our teeth. There's going to be some challenges and irritations along the way. What we do is we embrace the challenge. What we do is we realize that the grasp we have on God is so infantile. That the greatest grasp we could ever have on God will never amount to anything more than infantile. Begin to realize how big. You see, the more you realize it, the more you study the Word. People that really study the Bible, they're not proud. You know what people that study the Bible say? The more you study it, the more it blows your mind. The more you dig into it, the more layers you find buried underneath it. Truth upon truth. That's what the Bible says, line upon line and precept upon precept. That's how God talks to us. That's how God deals with us. God is challenging our faith. God is challenging our way of thinking. And He puts irritations and troubles and trials and struggles. We talked about discipline of a father last week. Let me tell you something. We discovered in our home group that the worst discipline you could ever fall into is the discipline of God. What does the Bible say? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Church, on the other side of this, I remember years ago, through many struggles since I've been in this church, spiritual battles, attacked by devils and demons. The Lord delivered me from, the Bible says He delivers us from all of our troubles. Delivered me from all of those things. But years later, after deliverance, I was praying and the Lord spoke to me. Because you see, we make the kingdom of God about ourselves. We make all of these things about ourselves. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, it was never about you to begin with. Not about how experienced you are. Not about how wise you are. Not about how anything you are. It was about my will and the work that I wanted to do in your life. And because you didn't trust me, that's why you fell into the troubles that you're in. Stop whining and complaining about it, because you're the one that got yourself in the situation that you're in. If you had trusted me more, then you would have seen different results. And so I said, I repented right there on the spot. And I'm afraid sometimes in my walk with God, you know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of this one thing. that I fail to trust God to take care of every detail. That I fail somehow to take matters into my own hand. And so I always want to say, God, how many of you ever taken matters into your own hands? You know, God has given us power and authority in prayer that we can take matters of things into our own hands. God will answer your prayer, even if it's bad for you, if you bug Him long enough. But after a few times of that, the Lord's still like, so how's that working out? Hey, Brother Danny, you prayed what you wanted to pray, and I answered your prayer. How's that working out for you? Hey, Brother Josh, you prayed the way you wanted to pray, and I heard what you said, and you pressed me long enough. I gave you what you want. How's that working out for you? I had a friend that used to say, well. And so I've learned to check swing my mouth when I'm in the prayer closet now, even as a pastor. God, if it's possible, God, for you to do things my way, that'd be great. But if not, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to stand strong. I'm not going to doubt you for a moment. God, if your way is different or better, let's do it that way. What is the key to all of these things? Somewhere in our walk with God. And I'm not talking about the prayer, the repenting prayer from dead works. If you're running through that cycle over and over again, sometimes we run through that cycle over and over again. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There is a deeper place of repentance where things that are in us that we didn't even know there that were there, things that are in us that we didn't even put there that were put there for us, things that we have picked up over the years that we're completely unaware of. It's not my fault that they're there. There is a prayer of repentance that we can go through and got a deeper place where we take all of the tools and all of the things that we have learned and all of the experiences and trials and tribulations and we bring them all together at once and we bow ourselves before God. God, here I am again. Nothing. And I'm not praying for you because of my situation to have, but God, because you are a merciful God, because you are a loving Father, and begin to speak to God in those ways and repent before Him, God. I know that I haven't trusted in you like I need to. I know that I haven't put my trust in you. I don't depend on you as much as I should. And begin to pour out our hearts before Him. God, I don't understand enough. I am hopeless without your help. And the Lord comes in. And not only does He reveal to us the simple answers that we're struggling to find, but He opens up before us a new dimension, a new place that shows us the future. Let's all pray together right now. If you'd like to come to the altar, I want to invite you today to step out of your pew and to bring before the Lord a renewed prayer of repentance in your life. To bring before the Lord your heart. Don't listen to the lies of the devil that you've done something or you've said something that has put you so far away from God that God can't hear. Let me tell you something today. If God can forgive Israel and bring them back to be a nation, God can forgive you. If God still loves His people, that went through all they went through during World War II, and has been so gracious to bring them back to their homeland again, God can forgive you. God still loves you just as much as He loves them, and more than anything desires to hear that prayer of repentance from the heart. A deeper place. Forgive me, God, for not speaking life. Forgive me, God, for being so such a Debbie Downer and being so negative and forgetting to rejoice. Forgive me, God, for being ungrateful and forgetting the hole in the pit that you dug me out of and that you pulled me out. Forgive me, God. Let God bring you into a fresh revelation, into a new place, into a wider place where the frustrations of yesterday fade away and the miracle of today begins to take place before your very eyes. Oh, Jesus.